This is The Difference, a podcast for nonprofit fundraising in a for-profit world, presented by Convergent Nonprofit Solutions, a leader in nonprofit fundraising. Convergent's professionals can help your nonprofit secure sustainable funding now and for the future.
Welcome to The Difference. We started our podcast earlier this year with the question, what is the difference that will allow your nonprofit to reach its goals and ultimately achieve sustainability? Our description of the podcast promised to provide our listeners with topics that would make you think and help your nonprofit grow. Typically, that has taken us down the road of fundraising, stories, trends, tips. Today's a bit of a departure from that, though. My guest is Pam Reed. Pam is one of our project directors at Convergent and a woman who I really admire deeply. She has had an extremely accomplished career in the nonprofit and for-profit arenas. She worked in New York for a major financial services firm for many years. And she then started her own nonprofit, authored two best-selling books, and today is one of our amazing fundraisers. She most recently worked with a hospice organization in Texas on a feasibility study that I know they found very enlightening. Pam is also an African-American woman. She speaks weekly about her experiences and the world around her through an effort or movement that she calls FLOW, which stands for Feel Love Over W, which could stand for worry or wrath, depending on the week. I asked Pam to join our podcast because this woman is just impactful. There is no other way to put it. Pam, when you speak, I just immediately want to start taking notes. I want to hit the record button. I want to share your thoughts, your emotion, your advice with my family and my friends. Your background and experience are different than mine, and they may be different than our listeners, or they may not. But either way, I think you have a really wonderful way of putting things into perspective and a perspective that is so loving and so inspiring. So forgive me the long, long intro, Pam, but welcome to our podcast.
Thank you so much, Kristen. Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure and an honor to be here.
Tell us about your experience with everything over the past few months.
Gosh, the health pandemic just provided an opportunity to experience the world and how people respond in a very different way. Being from New York, I've had some loss. I lost some family. I've lost some friends. A great deal of folks were diagnosed with COVID-19. While losing a loved one is hard within itself, I think that it became even more challenging when we couldn't go and pay our respects. It became even more challenging when my uncle passed away. The hospitals were overwhelmed in New York. The funeral homes were overwhelmed and backed up. They weren't able to go and to get my uncle out of the home right away. So here it is. There, you know, his children, his grandchildren, everyone's still in the home while he's upstairs, deceased.
Oh, that's terrible.
Yeah, and it pulls at your heart. You know, I remember so many days while sheltering in place and self-quarantining, you know, getting calls from family in New York and listening to their voices, the voices of fear and even a little bit of desperation, like, you know, Pam, do you have any masks? Do you have any gloves that you can send? Is there anything that you can send us? And gosh, I mean, Kristen, that was so hard to hear and to listen to. And it was really amazing to me as well that it seemed that while I'm here in Georgia and the majority of my family is in New York, it seemed that here in Georgia, I was the only person in the different circles of friends or community people or service people, wherever I am, it seemed like I was the only one who had people in New York experiencing these things. So I felt a little alone, needless to say, during all of this as well. And then the whole thing is exacerbated by the rate of death of African Americans. It's like three times as much as white Americans. I mean, it was just amazing to me. Three times as much. And in some parts of the country, as much as eight times as much.
Oh, wow.
That just contributes to the racial injustice, right? The things that are in the center right now of what we're experiencing with our civil unrest.
Well, that's what, you know, when you and I talked earlier, you described it as I thought you gave it a unique description that I hadn't heard before and completely agree with, that we basically went from a health pandemic to a spiritual and cultural pandemic. And so, yeah, I guess just take me through what you felt and thought as you've seen the terrible stories of Ahmaud Arbery, Breonna Taylor, George Floyd, and so many others.
What I felt, what I thought, it's amazing to me. It reminds me a little bit of September 11th. I worked in New York and I was there. And so some of this really feels familiar, right? In the way of like just the worst of humanity. Think about having watched the video, I remember grieving. I remember thinking that could be my husband or that, and forgive me because I guess every time I say those words, I feel some emotion around it, but I could see my husband there or my son or my brother or my uncle. And I was just grieving. I was crying like it was just one of my own. And I went from grief to frustration and then to anger. And I remember it wasn't until I heard myself say, what am I going to do? Like, what am I going to do? And I started like texting and emailing and doing things. And when I heard myself say that, it was right then and there that I realized no one is going to hear what I have to say or contribute if it comes from a place of anger. No one is going to experience what I'd like for them to experience if it's coming from a place of anger and frustration. And so it just brought me back to just being able to flow, right? To be able to feel love over the wrongdoings that are going on in the world today. And so I think they're just, you know, so that's how I felt and that's how I feel. Today I'm in a place of just, I'm in a place of love. I'm in a place of advocacy. I'm in a place of sharing and educating and hopefully pricking hearts in a way that's going to be meaningful and impact change.
Yeah, and is that kind of, you started your flow movement around that just a few weeks ago or a month or two ago? Is that...
So my movement started actually in when my sister passed away 2 years ago, passed from ALS, but the flow broadcasts actually started April 10th was my first one. And yes, and I do them every Friday, and there's just a way, depending on the focus of the Friday, to just hopefully help people acquire a new set of lenses, right? So they can see their world and the people in it differently.
Actually, another thing I wanted you to talk about on the podcast was a story that you told me, and it just goes off of what you just said, that a friend of yours had talked about the phrase, I don't see color. And after you and I spoke about this, I was sharing it at our family dinner. I mean, this is really just such a powerful story, I think. Do you mind sharing that story again?
Oh, I don't mind at all, because it moves me as well. We're in a place where I'm, you know, there are a lot of people, and I'm the only person of color, and a friend, you know, just wants to know, why is it that whenever she says, I don't see color, that African Americans, Black people, Brown people, why do they get so upset? Gosh, I got to a place where I could answer it to help her understand that if we're going to have change, real change in every area of our lives in this country, it has to be based on a foundation of truth. And the truth is you do see color. You do see it, right? You see that I'm brown. You see that my hair is natural. You see my color just as clearly as you see someone in a wheelchair, just as clearly as you see someone who's overweight and trying to, you know, and sitting on an airplane, right? You see all of these things. And so what's really important is to understand that it's okay to see these things, and that when you see them, to honor them and respect them. That's the difference. So when you say things like, I don't see color, it's like, so someone passes away, you lose a loved one, you lose a spouse or a friend, or I hate to say a child, and you're grieving. There's a level of depth there that you're hurting. And so you are so careful before you respond to that person who's grieving, right? You pause and you think about, what are the right words that I can say to this person right now because they're hurting? Well, the African American community, they're hurting right now. To suggest that you don't see the color of their skin is probably just, you know, not just the right thing to say right now. And then just to maybe replace that with, I do see color, and to find ways to honor and respect it.
Yeah, I loved how you said you had an older gentleman, a friend of yours too, who really did just that with you. Called you when, I think, did you say it was after, right after what happened with George Floyd?
Yes, he did. And older white gentleman, he's going to be celebrating his 70th birthday. And when he said to me, Pam, you know, I see your color and it's beautiful and I honor and I respect it. What flooded back to me, Kristen, was when he and I first met. And when we were getting to know each other, you know, he asked me questions about my childhood and my upbringing and my heritage. He asked me very specifically about the things that contributed to who I am today and how I think today and how I respond to things today. Back then, when we first met, I didn't think anything of it other than we were just getting to know each other. I asked him the same questions. That's what it looks like when you want to honor and respect for someone for who they are. It's all about judging people, because we're going to judge. I mean, we're human. This is what happens in our human experience. If we're going to judge people, we want to judge them by their character, right? Not by the color of their skin. And I know it's a choice. You get to choose. And sometimes it's just a matter of pausing.
That was just so illuminating to me too, because I had actually always said that phrase almost with a badge of pride that, oh, you know, I had actually said it often about my kids. I love the next generation. I just think they don't see color and it's so fantastic. If friends, boyfriends, girlfriends, and it's just any, you know, any color, any race, but it was just so illuminating to me to see that actually is not the case. They to see color, to honor it, to understand the experience. I thought that was just really illuminating, you putting it that way. So thank you.
Oh, you are so welcome. And you know, as far as the young people today, they have a greater respect, I think, for each other than
I think you're right. Yeah, it goes beyond what I said. So yeah, it's different. It's not. I didn't adequately put it into words, and now I feel like I do have the words.
Yeah, and and I have to say, just to be fair, Chris, most of us, most people of color, understand where it's coming from, right? Because typically, when someone says, "Well, I don't see color," yeah, we get that, right? I just, again, a foundation of truth. Truth is that we all see color. I see your color, Kristen. You see mine. More than anything, I see your heart. I see, you know, and I see you as a person that deserves honor and respect.
Yeah, and I love, so I asked you perhaps we talk about on the podcast, what's next? What do we do now? And really, I was thinking for the nonprofit industry, fundraisers, for professionals in the industry that we work in, but I loved your response wasn't just about that industry or those people or the professionals who might be our listeners. It was that you're hopeful for all people. So what are the next steps you hope for with all of us, for us to do to move forward and to move up and to be better and to be different?
That's so good. Every single day, we get new grace and new mercy. We get a new opportunity to do better than we did yesterday, right? And so there are some things that I would like to encourage people to do, Kristen. If there are people who are not as familiar with systemic injustices, or maybe they don't know enough about racism or inequity and things of that nature, that they take the time to learn some things, that they make that part of their routine. I have my daily routine, right? And prayer and meditate and exercise and learn something new. You know, I would suggest incorporating that into your routine, learning something new about the things that this country is dealing with right now. I think that would be helpful. I think that when it comes to you as an individual, if you are someone who has love and peace as part of your value system, that you transfer that to your children, that you are not only an example of that, but that you teach them some things and you share with them some things. And so a discussion that I got to listen to was, you know, there was a black man and a white man, and they were friends and they were having the discussion, and the black man was sharing some of his experiences. And in response to that, the white man said, you see, Now, I am so looking forward to going home and telling my children that my friend here that has experienced these things. And he really made a point of saying that he wants to tell his children about what his Black friend has experienced. And I just want to add to that. And I'm hoping that he doesn't miss it, because it's not about going home and sharing with your children or your neighbors or your close circle of friends what other African Americans are or have experienced. It's about sharing with them that it's wrong. It's about sharing with them about the injustices. It's about transferring the love and the peace that you have as a value system onto your children, onto your friends and those who are close to you, helping them understand the differences between the right and the wrong, and not just that it's happening. You see that this is going on. It's more than the fact that it's going on. What can we do to impact change and make a difference? I would also say that there's an opportunity to connect with people who are different from you. There is nothing wrong. I mean, I know not everyone is outgoing, right, as others, but there is nothing wrong with going down four houses down, because you know you got a neighbor four houses down that is different than you, that you really haven't taken the time to get to know. Go knock on that door. And just say to them in a spirit of transparency and love, you've been my neighbor for 5 years, 10 years, 12 years, and I am so sorry that this is the first time that I'm actually stopping in and taking the time to get to know you. Will you come to my home for a meal? Maybe you can have a barbecue and invite some neighbors and make the focus and be intentional about getting to know each other. There are so many ways that you can connect with people who are different than you. And by the way, once you connect with them and you get to know them better and they get to know you better and you gain and you go in a mutual love and respect for each other, then you can take that relationship to the next level and serve others together. Could you imagine? Now you're loving and honoring each other and you're serving and connecting. That would be a beautiful way to impact change and to be an example to the young people in your lives, in your community. And then the last thing I would say is someone came up with a phrase that says silence is violent. When you see an injustice, speak up. When you see something that's wrong, use your voice. It is such a powerful thing. I had an experience in corporate America, person of color. I've experienced discriminating against me. And I had an office, and it was a corner office, and I had a very high level position. And every day when I would come in, there would be an older white gentleman in my office sitting at my desk with his feet up on my desk. This was every day for an extended period of time. And then I would stand in the doorway and I would wait. And he would finally take his feet off the desk and he'd get up and he'd walk past me. He'd ignore me, go to my office and start my work. That sounds very blatant and very unrealistic, but it the absolute truth. There were also times when I go into my office and he'd be in there in that posture, and he'd be in there with another white person, and he would be sharing with that white person how they could redecorate that office when it became available while I stood there and listened.
Oh, goodness.
But I share this because the first is it took a white person to go and share with leadership what they had witnessed over the course of many, many months. I didn't know that this person went and shared. She saw something and she went and she spoke up. It took her a while because she wasn't sure if she was going to commit career suicide in doing that. Okay, so there's that fear element. And I didn't know that there was an investigation and that things were happening behind the scenes. I just noticed that one day he wasn't in my office anymore. And then one of the partners called me in and sat me down and looked at me with what I'm going to describe as sincere admiration. Older white man. And he just looked at me. He said, "You never said anything." And I looked at him and I said, "What are you talking about?" And he shared with me what had been reported about this person and all that had happened. And I said, "Yeah, well, I didn't know whether or not it was a battle that was going to be good for me, because it would have really just been my word against his." And I worked in a pretty predominantly white company and predominantly male. And so, and he said to me, that person is no longer with us. Why they thought that they could harass a Black pregnant woman. It took a voice. It takes your voice, Kristen. It takes your friend's voice and the people in your community, the people that you're, it takes a voice to help to impact change. I don't know that this person, you know, left the job a better person, but I know that it was addressed. And so having a voice, so silence can sometimes lead to contribute and support violence. So using a voice is definitely important. And for the nonprofits, I would say this, be discerning, ask better questions. When it comes to the boards, be intentional about who your executive director, your CEO is. For the CEOs and the executive directors, be intentional when going through your board selection process. It's not just about people who have a heart for service. It's about people who have a heart for love and of other people. You can have a heart for whatever the cause is or whatever the movement is, yes. But if we're not asking the right questions and we're not being discerning, you know, we can have people serving with us that just harbor things that are just not good and will manifest and come out in other ways. And they won't represent your organization well. So I would certainly suggest that, and to not be tolerant of things that support injustices of any kind.
It's great advice, Pam. Thank you. I'm so appreciative of your honesty and your openness. And I really appreciate you joining me today, joining our podcast.
It has been an absolute pleasure. And for anyone who would like a good book to read, there's a book called Stamped. And it's by Reynolds and Kendi. And I think Kendi is spelled K-E-N-D-I. And I probably should have written that down before I said it. But it's called Stamped by Jason Reynolds and Dr. Kendi, K-E-N-D-I. And then there's a documentary, a Netflix documentary called The 13th Amendment that I think would be helpful for folks too. It's just all in the learning and educational piece and looking to do some things differently. I'm hoping that your listeners heard something.
I hope Pam made a difference for you today.
This has been The Difference with Kristen Harper, Marketing Director for Convergent Nonprofit Solutions, and her guest, Pam Reed, a Convergent Project Director. For information about services from Convergent Nonprofit Solutions, go to convergentnonprofit.com. Thanks for listening.